Welcome, and thanks for joining us for the weekly podcast of Center Church San Diego. We are so happy to connect with you online today. You matter to God. You really do. Whatever your past, no matter what your circumstance right now, God loves you. And you belong right here. Hope starts now as we invite Christ to take his rightful place at the center of our lives. So let's jump in.
How's it going, everybody? My name is Marcus. I'm one of the pastors around here. Welcome to week number three of Follow Me. We've been all about making the world better and brighter. That's really kind of the heartbeat of our mission as a church. In fact, our mission is all around you. If you look kind of around, our desire, our passion is that we want to help people know God and find freedom and discover purpose and then go make a difference with their life. And that's what it's really kind of all about. And I did want to just take a quick second to let you know, next weekend we are launching something brand new. I actually think it is probably the most important resource that we have ever developed and provided here at Center Church over the past 3.5 years. It's called the Growth Track. And starting next weekend on October 1st, first weekend of the month, we are introducing, it's a 4-week experience where we actually help you take steps to get connected around here, to grow in your understanding of how God has shaped you, to really discover your purpose, and then help you go make a difference in the world. It really is something very, very special. If you call Center Church your church home, you just got to do it. It's going to be absolutely awesome. Here's how it's going to work. During the 11 o'clock hour service, the service that you're actually sitting in right now, the growth track will happen every single week. The first weekend of the month, second weekend of the month, the third weekend of the month, the fourth weekend of the month. We'll take a vacation on week 5 if that rolls around. But what we're going to help you do, if you come regularly to this service, here's what I want you to do next week. Why don't you consider coming to the 9:30 service so that you can come to the growth track? We're going to do it every single week. Those that come at 9:30, you can just kind of stick around for the 11 o'clock hour. But here's what I want to tell you. Give me 4 weeks of your year. Just 4. Give me 4 weeks of your year. It will dramatically impact how well-connected, how you build friendships and relationship around here, how you get really kind of keyed into how you're shaped. You've got some remarkable uniquenesses about you. Look at the person next to you and say, you're unique. Go ahead, tell them. All right, yeah, it's true. There are some stuff going on in you that you are one of a kind, and we want to unlock that to help you discover your purpose so that you can go make a difference. It's happening next week. It's really, really great. Well, I feel like this past week we made the world better and brighter around here. I did want to show you a few of the images of the Soul Care Restore project that we hosted right here in this room on Wednesday. Over 500 kids were served. Back to school, brand new pair of shoes. Many of you guys participated in that in person. So many of you participated financially to help make that happen. You can actually still do that if you would like to do that. But it was absolutely incredible as we watched these little faces come walk into this room. An incredible team of Dream Team volunteers that just sat down face to face and really told them what a remarkable person they were, how God had created them for a purpose, and he had big plans for them. I mean, there was just like some incredible interaction. It happened over a pair of shoes, but it wasn't about the shoes. I mean, it was just really, really incredible. I was humbled to serve the Lord alongside you this past week. We made a big difference. And that reverberation continues to happen. I got a chance to talk to the principal here at Perkins, a bunch of the staff. In fact, the superintendent of San Diego Unified School District was here to see what was going on here in this room, along with Channel 10, a bunch of other people. Who cares, right? But here's what was speaking so loudly is that somebody showed up and really cared. You can't argue with that. Right? Yeah, it was awesome. It was awesome. So, as I was talking with the principal and the superintendent, she at one point said, it's just so remarkable that you guys are here, you know, doing this. And I knew what she meant, and I was thankful. But I just thought to myself, we're just following Jesus and doing what he does. We're just taking a cue from the King on how he operates with people, what he values, what he prioritizes. We're just following him. We're following him, and making the world better and brighter. And so today, we're gonna dig into this next installment. It's really kind of all about serving people. And so we're going to take a look at the life of Jesus today again, and an interaction that he had with his disciples, his traveling companions, and basically what we're going to drop into here is an argument that his friends are having among themselves, and what they're basically talking about is who's going to be the greatest in this kingdom that Jesus is going to set up. Like, this Jesus guy is pretty cool. He's obviously worth following. He's the man. He's the leader. We're following him. How can we angle for the best title and the most prestigious position? Where are we going to be sitting at the table? Like, what's going to be said about us so that we're kind of a big deal, sort of like Jesus is a big deal? And so I want to kind of catch you up on the context here. These are not guys that are into serving people. They're very much into being served by other people. Okay, that's where these guys are at. They wanted the most impressive position. They wanted the big deal title. And as usually occurs, when that's the motivation in a group of people, they start fighting with each other. Okay, and so that's kind of the context of what's happening. Look at Luke chapter 22, verse 24. It says, within minutes, they were bickering over who of them would end up being the greatest. But Jesus intervened, it says. He said this. He said, kings like to throw their weight around, and people in authority like to give themselves fancy titles. It's not going to be that way with you. Let the senior among you become like the junior. Let the leader act the part of the servant. Who would you rather be, the one who eats the dinner or the one who serves the dinner? You'd rather eat and be served, right? Okay, so what he's already keying into is like, I know you guys. I know what your motivation is here. You'd rather eat than be served. You'd rather be served than serve other people. But then look at what he says. He says, but I've taken my place among you as the one who serves. Jesus is about to model for his followers what real service actually looks like. And in fact, what he's basically letting us know is like, serving, that's God's idea. From the very beginning. You think human beings came up with the notion of serving? Nope, it was God's idea from the very beginning. In fact, this is why even people who are far from God, have no relationship with God whatsoever, can go and generously serve someone else, which people do that all over the world, all the time. It's why someone who's even far from God can do that and walk away from that experience going, wow, that was like really meaningful. That like, I feel better having done that. You know why? Because without even knowing it, they were doing God's work. That happens in downtown San Diego with all kinds of different nonprofit organizations all the time. People, they're not doing it in Jesus' name, but I got bad news for them or good news for them. It was God's idea. And that's why it brings about so much reward for us when we do it. And so what Jesus is, he's teaching us about serving, and in a very profound way, what he's given us a heads up on is that there's going to be some decisions that are required on our part in order to follow him and serve people. And I want to kind of unpack what those things are. These are things that Jesus actually shows us from his very life and his very experience. He's going to model this for us. And here's the first one, is that I will serve motivated by love. This is the decision that Jesus made. He's saying, hey, come follow me into this exact same decision. When you serve, do it motivated by love. John chapter 13, verse 1, it says, just before the Passover feast, Jesus knew that the time had come to leave this world to go to the Father. Having loved his dear companions, would you underline that little line in that passage of Scripture? Having loved his dear companions, he continued to love them right to the end. Now, what we're seeing here is this Jesus encounter. Jesus is actually getting ready to die. He's on his way to the cross. He's going to be crucified just in a matter of hours from this time. And even though he's got the weight of the world on his shoulders, and this choice that he is choosing to serve us in love, in this incredible sacrifice that he's going to make, even then, he's motivated by love in his service. He's always served people out of a love motivation. It's why he came in the first place. That's why it's not quite good enough just to serve out of some compulsion or obligation. That doesn't really enrich anybody. It doesn't really help out the person you're serving, and it sure as heck doesn't help you. Real Jesus service is always motivated by love. For God so loved the world that he gave. He served. That's where he was coming from. Always motivated by love. It's a choice that we make when we choose to serve other people. Jesus, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to serve you and serve others motivated by love the way you were. Here's the second decision. It's I will serve with a security that empowers my service. I serve with a security that empowers my service. In other words, people who serve like Jesus, they do so from an assurance that motivates their sacrifice. It inspires their sacrifice. Look at verse 3. It says, Jesus knew that the Father had put him in complete charge of everything, that he came from God and was on his way back to God. What he's saying is that Jesus knew that he had some pretty awesome credentials. He had been given a badge from God the Father that was the best and biggest badge you could ever be given. He had been put in charge of everything. He knew who he was. He was absolutely secure in who he was. But look at the next verse. It says, so he got up from the supper table, set aside his robe, and put on an apron. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the feet of his disciples, drying them with his apron. This was one of the most disgusting jobs that you could do in a society where most people traveled wearing sandals and having dirty feet all the time. What I find really interesting about this passage is it starts out saying how Jesus understood and knew he had been given the highest credentials possible by God the Father. So he took off his robe and put on an apron and started serving people. In fact, who he was and understanding who he was actually inspired and empowered his service. What that means is that you and I, before we go serve people, we got to know who we are. We got to know what we've been called to. We gotta get it. And what I actually believe is that servanthood begins with a sense of security. If you don't know who you are in Christ, you might struggle with serving people. Because only the secure can stretch out of their comfort zone. Only the secure can get over themselves long enough to put somebody else first. Secure people are into towels. Insecure people are into titles. Ever met anybody who kind of was a name dropper? Okay? They try to make themselves more important by who they know. You don't even know who they are, but it's like you're like supposed to be more impressed. Or people whose title walks in the door before they walk in the door. You know, I'm the senior executive vice president of omnipotent potentate of the universe person, right? And you're supposed to be like really impressed. I'm from San Francisco, and there's sort of a local lore legend of a guy actually in the 1800s, it was around 1859, I think. His name was Joshua Norton. And you know what he called himself? He was known around town as the Emperor of San Francisco. And he dressed like it. He walked around like in all these emperor's robes down the streets of San Francisco. He was the Emperor of San Francisco. You know how he got that title? He gave it to himself. I dubbed myself the Emperor of San Francisco. He went on to give himself another title, which was the Protector of Mexico. Now, he didn't live anywhere near Mexico. He's living in Northern California. I'm the Emperor of San Francisco, and I'm the Protector of Mexico. That he was really into title. Did his title actually make him something? No, anything except crazy, right? It didn't make him anything but crazy. But secure people are into towels. That's what Jesus did. Insecure people into titles. The secure are people conscious. The insecure are position conscious. The secure want to share value with others. The insecure want to rob and suck value from others. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, well, that's all fine and dandy, but that was Jesus. Like, you know, Jesus had like a pretty awesome father who like gave him a really great badge. Like, what am I supposed to do, you know, with this?
And that's why this is what's important. This is why following Jesus is so important, because we start listening to what he has to say about who we are, and the voices of the contrary sort of picture of who we are begin to fade into the distance. We all have a little tape that plays in our head. And it's made up of the comments and the derogatory things that have been spoken to you. We've all been walking the planet long enough to have had a lot of people say some not so nice things about us. You're not worth it. You're dumb. You're a loser. The list goes on and on and on. You have your own tape. I have mine. And it may have come from your family of origin. It may have come from a classmate. It may have come from the choices in friends that you made along the way, maybe from a boss or something like that. But we all have this tape. And following Jesus is this process where I exchange my tape for his tape. And what does he say about me? Irrespective of what y'all have said, what does Jesus say about me? What has he said about you when I start to follow him? And the truth is that Jesus has called us his friends if we follow him. He has actually said that we are sons and daughters of God. That's huge. You are a son or a daughter of God. He says, if you follow me, you've been forgiven. And I've wiped clean the slate of your past experiences. Your mistakes, I don't even remember your mistakes anymore. I see you as a masterpiece. You're this workmanship, this grand work of art that I have made. I've imbued you with enormous purpose and promise. That's the tape that starts playing. And what I want you to see is that when that begins to be louder and louder as I follow Jesus and I'm listening to his voice, that actually empowers my service for him. It's like, man, I'm a child of the King. I have been forgiven. He has done so much for me. He has made promises to me that are not based on what I do and what I can deliver, but upon his faithfulness. Man, that's pretty cool. So now I'm not serving out of my own resource, which is pretty feeble most of the time. I get to serve out of his resource and what he says. In fact, I would encourage you, if you're only going to serve out of your own resource, I just want to give you a heads up. It's a really easy way to get really burned out really quick. But when I serve out of his inexhaustible supply, now I'm serving out of a security that isn't going anywhere. That's what he's called me to. That's why this growth track next week is so important. You have to get clearly defined how God has made you. He has given you a certain shape that's uniquely yours. He's given you a heart. He's given you a personality. He's given you certain abilities that are uniquely yours. He's given you certain experiences and allowed certain things in your life, even our greatest pains, that make you uniquely positioned to go and make a difference in the world, to make the world better and brighter. You got to know what that is so that you can serve out of that sense of security. Here's the third decision. I will serve with humility. People who decide to follow Jesus serve others humbly. They're even willing to be served themselves, which for some of us is maybe even harder. Because I think for a lot of us, we think we're supposed to be too good to be served. No, don't serve me. And so, you know, I at least in our head, I'm at least supposed to be up here. And I know I'm not up there, but I'm supposed to get up here. So please don't serve me. And you know what's right at the root of that? It's pride. Following Jesus and serving the way he does it serves people with humility. John chapter 13, verse 6, the story continues. It says, when he got to Peter... So Jesus is going around and he's washing feet. Peter says, Master, you wash my feet? And Jesus answered, you don't understand now what I'm doing, but it will be clear enough to you later. But Peter persisted, as was his bent. Okay? He says, you're not going to wash my feet ever. And Jesus said, if I don't wash you, you can't be part of what I'm doing. Master, said Peter, not only my feet then. Wash my hands, wash my head, give me a bath. I want the Jesus car wash. I need the Holy Spirit jacuzzi. I want the whole thing. That's what I want. Now, Here's what I think about Peter in the circumstance and situation. I don't think Peter's big issue was that just anybody was going to wash his feet. I think he was perfectly fine with being served by certain people. He just didn't want Jesus to be the one serving him that way. And because I don't want you, Jesus, doing that. Because if you notice in the story, Peter wasn't anywhere near a towel and a basin. Okay? He didn't hop to his feet and start serving right alongside Jesus other people. And what's happening is Jesus is coming to him saying, I'm going to wash your feet. What he's saying is, he's saying, Jesus, you shouldn't be the one to serve me. You're too good for that. And I shouldn't be the one to be served by you because I'm too good for that too. Why don't we get some of these other nincompoops to do it? See, they got a room full of friends, and they've all been fighting about their position at the table. And so each of them thinks that they've got one up on the guy sitting next to them. And Peter's kind of going, well, I'm Peter. I mean, I'm bold and I'm brash and Jesus likes me. I mean, I'm sort of on the inside three here. And Jesus is going to build his entire church, calling me the rock. I'm like, I'm pretty much the man. I'm too good for that. I'm going to come up here. You're too good for that, Jesus. Let's go into the We're Too Cool for School club we'll create. You're in it. You're the head, of course. And then I'm in it, and I'll be the secretary treasurer. You know. And then the other guys start going. John starts going, well, I need to be in the Too Cool for School club. You know, I'm the disciple that Jesus loved. He might have liked you, Peter, but he loves me. Well, let's get over it. We're in the Too Cool for School club. We do that all the time. That's kind of a human thing that we like to do. And it's this pride that starts to erupt in us. And how Jesus did it, he gets down completely off of that pedestal that somebody tried to shove him up on. In fact, because he was given the credentials that he had, he took off the robe and put on the apron and said, no, this is how we do it. We do it with humility. And in fact, Jesus took it one step even further. He said, if I don't wash you, you can't be a part of what I'm even doing. I want you to know something. You can say with your mouth that you want to follow Jesus, but if you don't make the decision that says, I'm going to serve with humility, you can't follow Jesus on the path he's walking because he's ahead of you and me. He's saying, come follow me. Let's make the world better and brighter. And we serve people with humility. It changes everything about how we see the world and how we see other people. There was a young man that came walking in the door on Wednesday. I'll call him Daishan. It's not his real name. But Daishan came walking in the door on Wednesday, and my personal eyes were opened to something that I had not seen before. Now, if you're familiar at all with some of the things that are happening here in downtown San Diego, you might know that, especially here in our community, right downtown, there's been a hepatitis A outbreak that's very significant and dangerous. We've had 16 people have died. Hundreds have been impacted by this. It's what's going on down here, okay? It's a little bit scary, a little bit sketchy. I received a phone call from Homeland Security on Tuesday night before we did our Wednesday event, warning me that what we were doing was extremely dangerous, and had we taken certain precautions in order to keep everyone safe, we didn't want anyone healthy contracting hepatitis A in the process of our service downtown. Now, I don't know when the last time you got a Tuesday night call from Homeland Security, but it's a little bit daunting, okay? I mean, my first thought is, wow, Homeland Security is calling me. Can you hook me up with a get out of airport security jail card? That was number one. But number two, like, okay, have we taken every step that we need to take in order to do that? And as the one that was leading all this stuff and people are coming and doing all that, I was a little bit freaked out. And I'm going, okay, am I doing something that is unsafe? Am I doing something that is going to put people at risk? I mean, like, all the different things. That all starts to kind of creep up in my mind on Tuesday night. And then I was reminded, by the way, we did take tons of steps and had medical-grade gloves and a whole cleaning regimen and all kinds of other stuff that we did do and had in place to keep everybody safe. But I thought to myself, what's one of our core values as a church? I was reminded of it, and it's this. We pray not that God keep us safe, but that he make us dangerous for him. That's a core value for us as a church. My goal in life is not to be made safe. My goal in life is that I be made dangerous for the global glory of God. That means I'm not trying to go hunker down and get myself in a bunker so that all, you know, the enemy of my soul can't get at me and I'll be safe. I've actually been called to know God and to find freedom in him and to discover my purpose and go make a difference, so much so that he's the one running from me. I have been called not to be safe, but to be go and be made dangerous for him. That's who we are. So if you've ever wondered, like kind of walk in, like, who are these people and what have I connected myself to? That's it. We go and we follow Jesus and we serve other people. So Daishan comes walking in. And I took him to a chair and I sat him down next to Abraham Sasenya, who's one of our dream team volunteers that day. And as Abraham began to talk to Daishan and began to show him his brand new pair of shoes that he was going to get, we took off his old pair of shoes, and this is what we saw. As we rolled up his little pant leg, what we saw is his legs and his feet were covered with these boil-like sores all over his legs and feet. Couldn't see him with his shoes on, his socks on, but as that started, we pulled up his pant legs, and there it was. And he received some medical care there. We washed his feet and those things. We were able to actually elevate this situation. He needed some medical personnel there at the school to come and help, which we did. But talk about really serving somebody in a way that radically changes the way you see the world. I took a look at that young man as we were sitting there at those chairs, and I thought to myself, I had no idea what was walking in these doors. This is America. But this is America. And here's this young man who needed something very special. He didn't need somebody with a title. He needed somebody with a towel. He didn't need something that was lofty and pretentious. He just needed a couple of guys named Abraham and Zane was there scrubbing his feet. And he needed, not to mention all of the other volunteers that were here to make that day happen. He needed some people who were willing not just to play it safe and stay home because of the hepatitis A scare, but to go and be dangerous for the good, the global glory of God. That's what he needed. And I want to let you know, serving Jesus, the real him, following him where he goes, is going to mean getting down on your hands and knees with a basin of water and scrubbing a dirty foot and sacrificially love somebody who's probably hurting in ways that you can't even see. There's stuff underneath the pant legs that's there. You've probably been the recipient of that yourself. Someone who actually came to you and sacrificially spoke life into you and encouraged you. And they didn't even see all the sores that were on you, but you needed a touch from somebody with a towel. And that's the heart of Jesus. What Daishan needed was somebody to serve him motivated by love, not obligation, care. He needed someone secure enough in themselves to give and not take. He needed someone to wash his feet and care about him face to face. And I want you to know, following Jesus means serving people with humility. Here's number four. I will model what serving looks like by my example. Because servanthood is caught, it is not taught. And following Jesus is the decision to model it by our example. Let's continue in verse 12. It says, after he had finished washing their feet, this is Jesus, it says he took his robe and put it back on. He went back to his place at the table. He said, you address me as teacher and master, and rightly so. That is what I am. So if I, the master and teacher, washed your feet, you must now wash each other's feet. I've laid down a pattern for you. What I've done, you do. Jesus is setting an example of what service looks like, living it out loud. He's not in some academic environment teaching from a textbook. He got practical because he was who he was. And secure in that, he's motivated by that. He's inspired by that sense of security and humbly gets down and models it in real form. Because the truth is, people do what they see. And this final commitment is the decision to live a life following Christ out loud so that everyone can see what it looks like. Hey, if you're a follower of Jesus, you believe in Jesus, don't go on stealth mode, friend. Live it out loud so that the love of Jesus is impossible to ignore where you're at. They can't help but catch the drift. The teachers and the personnel, they may not even know all the fine points of your theology. You might not know the fine points of your theology. Who cares? What they see is the love of Jesus pulsing through every fingertip, every smile and expression. Go make the world better and brighter. You make the hope of Jesus impossible to ignore. Following Jesus isn't the path of prestige. It's the path of putting others ahead of yourself. And this is the kingdom paradox, the kingdom of God paradox. You want to be lifted up, then lay it all down. You want to be filled up? Great. Go empty yourself. You want to be great? Great. Go be the servant of all. That's what Jesus modeled. That's the Jesus model. And we know that's what he values because that's the way that he did it. Out loud, visual. And that's why one of our core values as a church is that we believe our lives are made better when we help other people win. Look at how the Apostle Paul put it in 1 Corinthians 10:24. He says, we want to live well, but our foremost efforts should be to help others live well. We want to live well, fair enough. But our foremost effort is to help other people live well, to serve motivated by love, to serve empowered by the truth of who we really are, to serve motivated in humility, always in that way. And to serve in such a way that it's out loud and a living example of who Jesus really is. But it all begins with what I do with Jesus' primary invitation. Will you follow me? Whenever you see Jesus encountering people and there's this question, want to follow me? When there's a statement, hey, follow me. Every single time, you know what you never see in Jesus' hand? You never see handcuffs in his hand. He never goes and like, all right, hands behind your back. Here's the rope I'm going to put around you. You're coming with me. He never bullies people into submission in that choice. It's an open-handed, completely optional gift. Would you like to follow? We're going to follow and value people. Would you like to follow me and we're going to influence people for the good? Will you follow me? We're going to go serve people and make the world better and brighter. Will you do that? And as we close here today, this is my big question to you is before you walk out these doors, is what have you done with that invitation of Christ? Will you follow me? Maybe you're here. You've never experienced a relationship with God ever before. I want you to know, this is the kind of God that you would be saying yes to. The kind of God who is so quick to take off his own prestige to do anything so that you could come into a relationship with him. That's what you would be saying yes to today, that kind of love, that kind of sacrifice. Maybe you are a believer in Jesus and you've set out to follow him, but you got off the train when he started washing people's feet. You sort of fade into the back of the pack when it comes time to loving like that. And maybe as you're sitting here today, you feel that call back to really that vibrant relationship with God when you take a step forward and say, no, I'm gonna make a difference with my life. I'm gonna love the way Jesus did. What are you gonna do with that invitation that says, follow me? Would you bow your heads with me? I want to give you the opportunity to take a step into maybe a change of heart here today. If you have no relationship with God before today, But in that, if Jesus were to come to you as he is even this morning, and he says, hey, want to come and follow me? Want to come and exchange your old life for a new life that I bring? Want to give me your sin and I'll give you my forgiveness? Want to give me your anxiety and your worries? I'll give you my peace. Want to give me your past and I'll give you a hope and an eternal future in me that is secure. If that's a desire that you have to just say, Jesus, I want you to lead my life. I'm giving you all of my junk. I'm asking you to forgive my sin. I'm coming to you today for a fresh start. If that's your prayer today, today is the day of a completely radical new birth, a new life in Christ. And I want to pray for you specifically that God would just touch you and that today would be the starting place of a radical adventure with him. And so if that's you, nobody's looking around. I won't embarrass you in any way. But if that's a choice, Jesus is saying, follow me, and you're like, okay, I'm in. Would you just slip up your hand, maybe look at me real quick and say, yeah, I'm good. Great. Awesome choice. Best decision you've ever made. Anybody else? Thank you, God, for what you're doing in the lives of people here today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I got you. Right on. I'll wait just a moment longer. If you're like, I'm in on that. I'm following Jesus. Great. I see you. Awesome. Now, if you're a believer in Jesus today, but you found yourself sort of slacking to the back of the pack, because you're ready for a fresh start in him too. The good news is Jesus just keeps giving fresh starts. And so if you're ready to rededicate, say, God, I'm following you. I want to serve people, and the people around me would be impacted. They would know your love, that your hope would be impossible to ignore by the way I serve people. If you're ready and you're up for that, I want you to slip up your hand and let me pray for you here at the end. Who's that? Who is that? You're ready to go the distance. That's great. Awesome. Awesome. Great. Praise God. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity that we've had to be here with you for a bit, to learn from your word, to see your model, and to be challenged to some next steps for us. And I pray that you would shape us and mold us into the kind of people you desire for us to be. We want to know you more. We want to find some freedom from the things that have bound us up in the past, to really discover our purpose in you so that we can go make a difference in the world. Help us to do that. We commit our lives to you today. I thank you for these that have made the decision to follow you for the very first time. And I ask that today would be the starting place of an adventure with you that would slap an eternal joy upon their heart and upon their face as they follow you into this life that you have given us. And so we commit ourselves to you. Help us to walk out these doors today different and into our Monday to make a difference in the world. In Jesus' name, amen.